From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the very first day of November 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Harry Cooney will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Cooney, of course, from GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana in order, will be here to take up conditions in their regions. We'll hear that Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota are very dry, and then I'll talk to you just a bit about Ohio and give you their latest forecast. They have been very wet, and it all creates an interesting contrast in what might be next year's conditions. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby December wheat at $6.30, up a penny and three quarters for the soft red. July, the harvest month in Chicago, at $7.05 and a quarter, up 1 cent for the day. July hard red, $7.51 and three quarters, down six and a quarter in Kansas City. Back in Chicago from the CME Group, December corn futures, $6.60 and a quarter the high, the low at $6.31 and a half. Settlement price, $6.54 and a quarter, up seven and a quarter. March futures, $6.71 and a quarter the high, the low at 43 and a half, settled $6.65 and a quarter, up six and a quarter. And May corn, $6.76 the high, the low at 49 and a half, settlement price at $6.70, up 5 cents. July, $6.79 and a quarter the high, the low at 53 and a half, settled $6.73 and a half, up four and a half. December futures, a $6.07 settlement price for 2012, down a half cent, the high there at $6.11 and a quarter, the low at $5.95. November soybeans on the day at $12.12¾ top, bottom at $11.80 and a half, settled at $11.92 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. January at $12.12¼ and a half, down 14 and three quarters, and the May futures at $12.20 and three quarters, down 15 and a quarter. November beans of next year, $12.08¾¢, down 17 cents. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Bean meal futures up to the 310.70, down $5.40. December bean oil at $50.80, down 30 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures, February contract 124.20, up $2.82.5. January is at 147.50 in the feeder cattle at $2.85 higher. December lean hogs at 87.55. Down, or rather up, 7.5 cents. It was the February contract that lost 27.5 on the day to settle at $90.07. Taking a look at the outside markets, the nearby crude oil futures at $91.59 a barrel, down $1.60. Ethanol at $2.76, that's 0.4 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.79, down 14¼ cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.25, 3¼ cents lower. And the gold futures on the day at $1,711, down $13.20. The dollar at 77.26, up 1.08. The Dow down 225 points at 11,730. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 67 degrees, mostly clear this evening, 43. Wednesday, sunny and 68. Wednesday night, showers likely after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low of 44. South-southeast winds between 6 and 11, though gusts to 15 Wednesday night. Chance of precipitation Wednesday set at 70%, that after, of course, 1 a.m. Thursday, occasional showers, a high of 48 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 38. And Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 54 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 41. Saturday, sunny and 60. Saturday night, cloudy and 46. And Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 57 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with Don Day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why afternoon, Todd?
The curse of interesting times is working its way through the commodity markets and all the markets across the planet. MF Global in trouble again, and in the news again today. What kind of problems has it created for the CME group and other traders?
I'm very happy I'm not a CME official today. The problems that we're having there is instead of just getting the quick sell out and them in trouble is that deal went away, they are filing bankruptcy, and we're finding discrepancy to whether segregated funds were used to margin their own other positions are spent and aren't there. And that, of course, is against all of the CFTC rules and NFA rules. And it's causing problems of the people that want to leave getting their money transferred to their new clearing brokers. So that's been a real disaster. They have been allowing liquidation, but not the transfer of funds as of right now to wherever they want to go to start trading again, Todd.
So folks are able to get out of their positions and maybe get to their money eventually, but that money is being held at this point.
The bankruptcy court trustees are pretty stingy about letting that move.
Indeed they are. Well, we'll take that up at a later date. Let's talk about what really happened in the marketplace, especially the commodity markets, corn and soybeans. What was of most interest to you for the day?
Well, I think the MF Global situation was, of course, heavy on the market because of the way it was. But that was added to by Greece lawmakers saying they were going to have a referendum by the public to vote on whether they want to take the bailout position as to what it went. And, of course, that threw everything up in the air as far as the dollar being traded much higher, flight to quality, thinking that this could really unravel the European banks. And after everything that we thought we had sort of straightened around in their situation as far as keeping Greece from going bankrupt. That, of course, changed a little bit towards the end of the day. We saw that there were headlines saying that the Greece lawmakers say the referendum is basically dead, and that's why we were able to somewhat recover in the corn. You know, we did see some tremendous liquidation day earlier on that. The funds were net sellers about 8,500 contracts of corn, 3,500 wheat, and 5,000 beans. And it looked like it was going to be an all red day when we started the morning today.
Yeah, it was really ugly for a while this morning, and things turned around just a bit. Looking back at the fundamentals of the marketplace and saying, oh, whatever's happening, we're still short of corn?
That's a good part of it. I think that we've got a lot of end users that would like to purchase a little more corn in here. We're winding down on harvest, and we're supposed to have a couple estimates. FC Stone's estimate is supposed to be out sometime after close today. I have not seen their numbers yet. They're expected to decrease, and tomorrow we're supposed to get Informa's and probably Ag Resources number and other firms by the end of the week. So I think that we are looking for a decrease in the corn yields probably on these guesstimates, and a lot of people just don't want to get under a certain level, that being that 630 level here now until we see the numbers next week from the USDA.
You know, USDA will release its updated figures for crop production on Tuesday of next week, November the 9th.
Yes, and we'll be talking a lot about them then.
Well, we may. I haven't quite figured out exactly how we're going to do that show because Dave Dickey and I will be traveling to Kansas City to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, and we'll leave early in the morning to make that trip out there for that convention, and because we'll be in the car, I'm not quite sure how we're going to pull it off, but we'll figure it out. So we may or may not talk to you live next week, or one of the two of us, I suppose, but we'll get that figured out. What else should we talk about for the afternoon? Anything?
Well, I think that the way that the corn did storm back tells us that we are somewhat still locked in that trading range of the 630 to 660 year right now until we see some new numbers, Todd, and that basically there is that demand. We also saw a great increase in the live cattle market today. They were up the limit with the ideas that there's still going to be real demand for beef, and we need to inspire the American farmer to be raising some more beef.
Right. Those numbers are really getting high at this point. When you talk about $142 or $148, $149 cattle, That's a lot of money for a beef
cow. It's going to be expensive to go to Alexander's to eat, isn't it?
Are you buying at Christmas?
Sure, as always.
No. We're not. Probably be too expensive now. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well, everything changes, and it's an interesting world. Thank you so much for being with us for the afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Comes to us each and every Tuesday afternoon right here on your Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
If you'd like to hear what Wayne had to say again, you can always do that at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or you can visit us on your smartphone at ama.willag.org. The AMA, of course, stands for mobile. Either way, you can hear what Wayne has to say, and you can hear a bit of the numbers, either the opening or the closing, if you're listening on one of those two things. In fact, you can do that just by dialing this number, too, 217-333-3434. We update voicemail for your regular phone line at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. Now here's Dave Dickey. He's got the Ag News for the afternoon. Oh, I take that back. Not Dave Dickey. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 30th, 2011. Another predominantly dry week allowed many farmers to complete harvest and concentrate on fall tillage and fertilizer application. Producers also took advantage of the dry weather conditions to repair and install tile and complete other conservation practices, although many are concerned with the hard, dry soils as cooler weather approaches. With this being the 10th week among the past 12 to average drier than normal, topsoil and subsoil moisture levels continued to deteriorate and now stand at 77 and 74% short to very short, respectively. 87% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed, 5 days behind 2010, but 19 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybean harvest advanced to 98% complete, slightly behind last year's 99%, but 2 weeks ahead of the average pace. As the harvest season winds down, grain movement across the state slowed to 47% moderate to heavy, and 92% of the state reports adequate or surplus off-farm storage capacity, and 84% of the state reports adequate or surplus on-farm storage capacity. Conditions have also been favorable for livestock gleaning crop fields and saving hay supplies for future use, but many producers have already been forced to begin feeding hay. Statewide, hay supplies are considered 24% short, 66% adequate, and 10% surplus. This is Greg Tayson reporting for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 30th. Continued dry conditions and below normal temperatures allowed farmers to continue harvest and fall tillage activities for an average of 5.7 days. Statewide, both corn and soybean harvest made good progress, advancing by 10 percentage points from the previous week. Statewide, corn harvest advanced to 89% complete, compared with 98% last year and 71% for the 5-year average. Soybean harvest advanced to 94%. Compared with 99% 1 year ago and 80% for the 5-year average. Soft red winter wheat seeding was reported at 89% complete, compared to 98% a year ago and 81% for the 5-year average. 64% of the intended seeded acres have emerged, compared to 56% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Mostly dry conditions coupled with cooler temperatures aided harvest progress of fall crops. Soybean harvest neared completion with progress on pace with last year and well ahead of average. Corn harvest jumped to near 3/4 complete with progress 10 days ahead of average. Fall tillage has been ongoing and anhydrous ammonia applications have begun. Wheat conditions are well above last year. Cattle continue to graze stalks. Soil moisture levels continue to decline and are now below average for this time of year. During the last 2 months, precipitation averaged less than 50% of normal across much of the eastern third of Nebraska. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwick, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Precipitation amounts were light again this past week, allowing producers to continue the corn and sunflower harvest. For the week ending October 30th, the corn harvest was 93% complete, compared to 86% last year and 60% for the five-year average. The average moisture content of harvested corn was 14%. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 24% very short, 43% short, and 33% adequate, a decline from the previous week. Scattered showers occurred in areas but produced little measurable precipitation. Amounts ranged from no precipitation in the southwest and south-central areas to 0.18 of an inch in the southeast areas. Weekly temperatures were nearly 1 degree above normal statewide, continuing a warm, dry trend that began in late July. Prolonged dry conditions have made fall tillage difficult in some areas, and some producers have delayed anhydrous applications until some more substantial precipitation is received to soften the soil. That's the weekly crop weather report. For the week ending October 30th, 2011, I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending October 30th. Muddy field conditions slowed harvest activity in northern and southern Indiana, while the central region made rapid harvest progress. With the soybean harvest well underway, many farmers are starting to switch their efforts to the remaining corn crop. Farmers remain hopeful for good seed germination in the recently planted winter wheat. 57% of the corn acreage has been harvested, compared to 98% for last year and 65% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 51% of the corn has been harvested in the north, 55% in the central region, and 74% in southern Indiana. Moisture content of the harvested corn has been averaging about 20%. Corn condition was rated at 34% good to excellent. 81% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 98% for last year and 82% for the five-year average. Moisture content for harvested soybeans is averaging about 12%. 85% of the winter wheat acreage is planted, compared to 93% for last year and 83% for the five-year average. 58% of the planted wheat acreage has emerged, compared with 54% for last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat condition was rated 63% good to excellent, compared to 23% for last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. One more state to report, because we've been talking about how far the state of Ohio has been all season long. As of the 30th day of October, Ohio rates corn mature at 84%, compared to 100% last year, 99% on the rolling five-year average. But get this, corn harvested for grain at 18% complete in Ohio. That compares to 89% last year and 55% for the five-year rolling average. Soybeans harvested at 51% in Ohio, 45% behind last year, 35 points behind the five-year average. Winter wheat there, 67% planted. That's 29 percentage points behind last year, 24 points behind the rolling five-year average. It has simply been really wet in Ohio all year long. It's a stark contrast to what's been happening in the western Corn Belt, where it is now very, very dry.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to check the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois, joins us once a month on a Tuesday to do that. He's here this afternoon. Thanks, Harry, for taking the time with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It looks like a nice one out there. I'm sitting in the office, but it sure looks nice outside.
Well, it's time to go out and get the golf clubs out for one last time, right?
Maybe.
I know my parents, or my dad and my brothers probably would, but I would not join them on the, not well, very often anyway.
So. Yeah, like you say, though, the 1st of November, it's pretty nice weather out there for the first. Won't have too many more days of this year.
Yeah, you know what? I'd lay odds there, actually, on the greens.
Yeah.
I could call them and find out. Okay.
What
we better do is take a look and see what's happening in the world of agricultural energy. Start with the crude oil markets and work your way through the other distillates, please.
Well, we've had a lot of excitement here in the crude oil. Crude oil rallied from about a month ago now when I was on. We had just hit a low, or we were just in the process of making a low in the nearby crude oil futures contract around $75.
Mm-hmm.
Well, throughout the month of October, as you probably well saw, we had a big rally. We topped out around $95 here just last week. Today we took a little dip. As the stock market's been down, the crude market's been pulled back. So we pulled back to just under 90 at one point today, bouncing back well over 90 here at the close. We have some previous highs around 90 there from a couple of months ago. So we're finding some fairly decent support on the setback here around $90 in crude. But when you get over to the gasoline and the diesel fuel, those markets have held up quite a bit better. Gasoline, not as much. Gasoline demand has fallen off quite a bit, as you'd well expect here at this time of the year. But diesel demand is the big story. Diesel demand has been running strong and over the five-year average in diesel demand. Now, a year ago, we did about the same thing. We spiked here in the middle of the fall, only to have demand lessen then as we ended the year. So, again, we could be about ready to peak out here, but it probably means that this economy is starting to come back around a little more than what some had anticipated. And in diesel demand is going to, then we're going to start looking at the stocks. In the past couple of weeks, diesel stocks have fallen under the five-year average, and this is the first time on a four-week average that's done that in several years. So again, we're starting to change the balance sheet on the diesel supply and demand there. So we're going to have to watch that as we go out into 2012.
And you use that as a broader index for the economy because it means freight is picking up, in your opinion, potentially?
Yeah. The vast majority, if you look at a pie chart of diesel demand, by far the largest single-use category is the over-the-road semi-trucks going up and down the interstates and things. And so it seems to be an excellent barometer of economic activity or the lack thereof. And for the last couple of years, it's been low. Diesel demand has been low. Stocks have been pretty high. And it looks like that's starting to change. So I'm guessing that is an indicator that the economy is on the rebound in some sectors, but not all sectors. You know, you tell somebody the economy's on the rebound to the 9.5% that are unemployed, and they'd say, the heck with that. But overall, we're starting to see some of these green shoots, as they used to say, in the economy.
And I just heard a report, I think yesterday, that they were short maybe 120,000 over-the-road drivers. So that might be an idea that the freight is stimulated too.
Well, and you're starting to see some of those big trucking firms looking for employees too, you know, and that hadn't been done for a number of months.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us once a month on a Tuesday to talk about the agricultural energy markets. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes for some of you. For the rest of you, we'll say so long. You have a great afternoon.
It's National French Fried Clam Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1841, the first wagon of settlers left Independence, Missouri for the trip to California. In 1863, George Parker was born, an American inventor. He perfected the fountain pen and founded the Parker Pen Company. In 1873, Joseph Glidden began manufacturing his new invention, barbed wire, which opened the Western Plains to large-scale farming. In 1939, American biologist George Pincus showed off the first rabbit successfully conceived by artificial impregnation. Pincus removed an egg from the ovary of a female rabbit and fertilized it with a salt solution, and then transferred the egg to a second rabbit, which gave birth. In 1943, Alexander McAdey died, an American meteorologist. He invented and patented devices to protect fruit from frost, and he was a pioneer in the exploration of high-altitude air conditions. And in 1997, Victor Mills died. He was a chemical engineer who worked for Procter & Gamble. Among his many accomplishments, he improved Duncan Hines cake mix, inventing a process that made the cakes less lumpy, perfected a process for preventing oil from separating in Jif peanut butter, and developed a process that cut the production time of Irie soap bars down from 7 days to just a couple of hours. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start right here in the Corn Belt. Producers in Ohio have been behind all year. They remain that way because it's been raining there. Will they get to move further along? They're only 18% harvested for corn as of Sunday of this past week.
Well, it's still going to be a little bit of a struggle. We have a very active weather pattern that's formed here in the last week out in the North Pacific. And the way the pattern is evolving with the jet stream, there's going to be something moving across the lower 48 states about every 3 or 4 days. And we see this all the way through the middle of November. Now, the saving grace may be that it's a progressive pattern, meaning that we're not going to get big storms that are going to lumber. They're going to go through and move through fairly quickly. But we are going to have to deal with the system bringing shower activity to many areas as we get into Wednesday night and into the day on Thursday. We'll have a few days off, and then we'll see another system and the chances for shower activity returning by the early to middle portions of next week. So there'll be some spacing between them. They will be quick movers, but there's going to be enough precipitation with these systems to still cause some stubborn delays. But I think we'll get there. But Mother Nature is not being terribly cooperative.
Would Mother Nature be cooperative enough to drop some of that precipitation that's lumbering, not lumbering actually, across the Midwest on Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, where they have been very dry as of the last, I don't know, 10 weeks or so?
Nebraska and Iowa, especially with this first system coming in late Wednesday and Thursday, they'll do well. Only the far southern areas of Minnesota are going to pick up much moisture. But I could see a quarter to three quarters of an inch of water in the form of both rain, and it's going to be snow in some of those areas with this system. So there's going to be a little bit of help.
Will that same system drop rainfall and precipitation into Kansas, Oklahoma, parts of Texas, or not?
Yes. It's going to not be a lot, but most of Kansas. Going to get some rain and snow out of this, as well as northeastern areas of Oklahoma. There's going to be a line of shower and thunderstorm activity over some areas of central and east Texas, although it's not nearly the system they saw earlier in the month, last month, where they got the heavier rain, but they've got some chances.
As we close out our time together, talk to me about South America, please.
Well, as we look down there, lately they've had a weather pattern that's been what I'd call a very close to what you'd expect for this time of year. As we look ahead, it does look a little bit drier, though. Brazil, in particular, is going to have some drier areas, especially in the short term. Argentina going to fare the best with the best chances for precipitation.
Any place else on the planet we need to take up before I let you go?
Well, as we get here now that we're in November, the weather pattern all across, at least the northern hemisphere, just about everywhere, Europe, China, they're going to start to trend into a more wintry, start of a winter weather pattern is kicking into gear now.
Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He's in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties.